But my group, anyway, you know, we went to have this, I keep doing these diversions, but I have to follow what I can feel. My group had this meeting in Saul Church, that's the site of Patrick's first church in Ireland, with the people from Fireland, that CD, awesome meeting. Now, this bus driver we had, they sent us a new bus driver who was this little guy from Wales, and he was about as saved as a mouse. He thought we were absolutely loopy. You know, I mean, our other driver was a Christian. He wasn't spirit-filled, but we gave him big tips. You know, money talks, by the way. So he put up with us because, you know, gave him good tips. But this guy's not saved. My group, we had this meeting. My group came out of that little church. Those little chapels, small, you know, with a little doorway. You can only come out one at a time. My group came out. And as they got in the doorway, they got hit by this, like, Holy Ghost lightning. And they stumbled out and fell out in the spirit and just laid all over the graveyard. You see, so they just laid all over the graveyard. So me and Roy, my tour director, and another girl, we had to pick everybody up and drag them back to the bus, you see, and just we threw everybody on the bus. They were drunk out of their minds, totally, like 30 people, laughing, screaming. This one lady from Kansas City stood in the aisle of the bus. Oh, she's quite proper, this lady. Stood in the aisle of the bus and swam in this river for an hour and a half, all the way back to Dublin. Now, listen, this bus is doing 60 miles an hour down these little lanes. There's no way you could stand up. No way, but she did. And she swam in this river. You know. And I said, people laughing, screaming, singing. And I could see in that, I was sitting here and I could see the driver in the mirror, and he was traumatized. You see? So he kind of went like this. So I went and up the front, you know, where he was driving here, and he said, Miss Kathy, could you sit down? You know when somebody's getting ready to tell you something, they say, like, sit down. He said, sit down. So I sat down. He said, now look. These people went to the pub. I said, no, they came out of church like that. He said, now listen. They came out of church, then they went to the pub. I said, now you listen, you dropped us off. You know there's no pub there, because it's right in the country, right? So he said, are you kidding me? They really got that in church. I said, oh, yes, they did. He said, I've been spending good money to get that. He said, what I have to do? So anyway, yeah, Roy led him to the Lord. Woo! He went home a happy driver. Happy camp. Anyway, that was a little side. Anyway, back to Australia. I'm in Australia now again. And so I led all these people to the Lord. And then, of course, I suddenly realized, you know, I'm engaged to this guy, mafia guy. You don't just say, I don't think I'll do this anymore. It doesn't work that way. Because I knew a lot of things about a lot of people, including the chief of police in Sydney. So I suddenly realized that I was in a real pickle. You know, because what am I going to do? So I said, Jesus! Because sometimes you have to do that, don't you, ladies? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, ladies are good at that. See, sometimes not time for all those long prayers, is there? No, it's not. It's true. I was on this plane coming from New York, and you know, this plane went through a really bad storm. Have you ever been in a plane? But it's scary because the plane is jumping like this, and you can hear the metal, you know. And anyway, there's this lady in front of me. She's got this rosary, and she's praying, you know, around the beads. I thought, well, good for her, you know. And anyway, suddenly something hit the plane. It went boom like that, you know, up in the air, and bang down again. And she threw the beads in the air and said, Jesus! I leaned forward. I said, I think he heard that one. Well, he did, because it straightened out after that, you know. It's like, you know, I like to think, you know, and the disciples were in the boat, and they saw Jesus walking on the water. Yeah. Remember that? Yeah. And Peter, I like Peter. I have friends like Peter. I'm not like Peter. I tell them, you know, you have a go, and if you don't drown, I'll have a go. But Peter, Jesus walking on the water, Peter said, that looks fun. I want to have a go. That's my version. But, you know, he got excited, Peter. He wasn't all religious, like, you know. He didn't say, he wasn't in a storm with Jesus walking on the water, and he sat and said, I bid you, if thou wilt, skiv the word, and I... He said, Jesus! Oh, it's that. I want to have a go. He did. He was like that. So Jesus said, come on. So he stepped out in the word. Woo, that's fun! Yeah. Till he noticed, hey, the wind's getting a bit strong here. Oh, the waves are getting a little big. So he got his eyes on that, didn't he? And he began to sing, yeah. And he said, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would incline your ear to your humble servant. He said, Jesus! Amen. It's true. That's real. See, that's true. That's real. That's real. So that's what I did, you know. And the next day, my fiancé kept running to my apartment. He's really mad about something. And he said, I'll deal with you later. Because he knew I'd been talking to all kinds of people he didn't know. Because I was watched all the time. He knew where I was all the time. He said, I'll deal with you later. And he went in the kitchen. He got a gun out of the drawer. So I thought, well, that's over. But at least I had a vision. But he rushed past me, and he rushed out, and I never, ever heard from him again. To this day, I have no idea what happened to him. I have no idea. But I had a thought. I better get going while the going's good. Then I had another thought. I wonder if David's still available. So I wrote to him, and he was. Got tired of all his chorus girls and everything. So I came back to England, got married 6 weeks later. We're still back in my... In England, they call you heavy jelly. Fundamentalist, puritanistic, you know, ultra-Calvinistic church. But I knew there's something more. Because I had that experience. So it spoils you, doesn't it? Amen. When you get a touch from God, it spoils you. You know there's something more now. Oh, yeah. So I was with a group. We were part of a group of people that were actually a very worldly bunch of people. We were involved with them. They were... They're very worldly, but we did specialised in personal evangelism. So we had this very worldly group of people in the middle of this huge religious church, and they tolerated us because at least we got people saved, kind of, you know. So we were like a sore thumb, really. But, you know, anyway, so these other people in this group, there's like movie directors, chorus girls, actors, people, a very worldly bunch. But guess what? They were hungry. And I was hungry because I knew there's something more. So we decided to have this prayer meeting to pray for something. We didn't have any clue what we were praying for. You ever done that? You know, actually in those circles, some of you came out of those kind of circles, you never really had a prayer meeting. You kind of whined. Oh, God. Actually, the person that could say they were the worst sinner was considered the most spiritual. So everybody's trying to outdo each other. You know? And you're like, whoa, kind of whined and, you know, pleaded and begged and, oh, God. So we had this prayer meeting twice a week to pray for something. And this is where we were at. This is where we were at, okay? We would arrange to start the prayer meeting. I told you I was going to challenge your mindsets. I haven't finished yet. I've got a long way to go. We would arrange to start the prayer meeting in time to stop the prayer meeting, in time to have a glass of whiskey and a cigarette and watch the horror movie. That's what we did. Guess what happened? I know some of you are like, guess what happened? God showed up. We got slammed by the glory of God. Amen. Big time. Oh, we came into revival overnight. We didn't know what happened. We didn't know what happened to us. So, you know, he didn't take any notice of that stuff. You know why? Because God responds to the heart. He responds to the heart. You know. Are you hungry?
I'm hungry.
Remember that lady? I like that lady, you know, it's at the back of that crowd. Remember, she is sick. She'd been sick a long time, it says. She probably was not very strong, I wouldn't think, if you're sick a long time. And she saw the source of her healing. But it says there was a crowd. Well, she didn't stand there and say, well, Jesus knows where I am if he wants to heal me. Jesus knows where I live if he wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit. She said, get out of the way, 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 mine! Amen. Yeah. It says she pushed. That's rude. So she pushed. She pushed those people out of the way. She said, excuse me, could you, you know, because she didn't have time. Okay, so we came to this awesome revival. Glory of God. You know what I love about that? I've been to lots of revivals. But that first revival, the glory of God was on everyone. We never even had a front, actually. The anointing came on the little kids. You know, the banker, the trash man, the schoolboy. Never knew what was going to happen. When people called and asked us, you know, about the meeting, we'd have to tell them, when you come to the meeting, there'll be people laying in the street. Don't take any notice, just step over them. It's true. See, because the glory of God was on everyone. You never knew what was going to happen. I remember one little boy one Sunday morning. He was only about 9. His name was Steve, and he got up. He put his Bible on the floor and stood on it because he read something about standing on the word. And he sang 2 lines from an old song. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And this wind rushed into the building, knocked 250 people off their seats, and that was the end of that meeting. See, God wants to take over. But it's not an amalgamation. It's a takeover. God wants to take over, you just have to let him. It's not hard. He wants to take over more than we want him to. He will, you just have to trust him. See, that's a problem with a lot of leaders. I know a lot of leaders. I've been around a long time. I know the big ministries. But a lot of pastors will even tell me this. See, they don't know the Holy Spirit well enough to let him take over. Because they see something they don't know what to do with, they stop it, yeah. Instead of waiting to let God. You know, that's why revivals get quenched out all the time. Because somebody's got to control something in the end. It's true. I wrote a great article about that today. It's on Facebook. I like getting on Facebook because all those Facebook police get after me in about 5 minutes. So then I put things on there. Grace, 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 100% grace. And they'll get after me and say, you need to stop telling people that because people won't work for Jesus. And I say, exactly. Amen. Jesus doesn't want people working for him. Thank you. Oh, they get mad. Religious people can't stand you not doing anything. They're worried that you're not going to work for God. If it's any of their business anyway. You know, but then they can't stand it. Like, well, I was in New England, I was speaking about he that's entered into his rest has ceased from his own works. That's good works, bad works, indifferent works. I preached for about an hour and a half, and this lady came to me after, she's like this, you know. I thought she's going to be ill. She said, what do you mean? I said, I've just been telling you for an hour and a half what I mean. She said, I know, but I mean, what do you mean? I said, look, lady, whatever you're doing, you need to stop. She said, how? What do you mean? I said, well, just quit. She said, how? I said, don't do it. She said, do you have a book? You see, and actually, this is true, it would have been easier for her if I gave her a list of 10 things to do. Right. And tell her to stop. Because sometimes you have to stop, sit at the feet of Jesus. Amen. And let him love on you a bit. So you don't serve him unless you enjoy him. Because if you do, you're just passing on your religion. Hate to tell you, no one's interested. Your first calling is to enjoy God. Remember? Your first calling is to enjoy God. When you enjoy him, then you can serve him. You don't serve him, you just yield to him and the anointing flows through you. So much easier. So much more happens. It's so much fun. See, he puts the new covenant, I love the new covenant. A new heart and a new spirit I put within you. You know, you're not walking around schizophrenic tonight with two natures now. Well, that's how people, Christians are, you know, they think they're like, and you can tell because they look very stressed. Yeah, who's going to win today? Oh, gosh. So it's all religious stuff. Because guess what? What's your name, Anne?
Jackie.
Jackie? That's a nice name. That old Jackie was crucified, right? The old Jackie was crucified. Not trying to be, not going to be. That's a new covenant. So you, by faith, you walk in the new man who's already created in righteousness and holiness. A new heart and a new spirit I put within them. That's the new covenant. Woo! Don't sing, I'm sure you don't sing that song here, but that was somewhere they sang it a while ago. Creating me a clean heart or something. Yeah. Like, you can sing that if you're not saved. Don't sing it if you're saved. He already gave you a new heart. You know, don't sing songs asking him to do what he's already done. Don't pray things that he's already done. To receive them. Start to declare them. Whoa. Beverly would be very proud of me because I'm getting really bold. I was at this conference in New England. It was a great conference. But they had this worship team. I always have problems sometimes with worship teams. You know, you've got apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, worship leader. It's true. Worship leader is a ministry of helps, thank you very much. Not a fivefold ministry gift, but they've made it like that, haven't they? I've been in church where the pastor didn't preach till the worship leader said he could. Gave him the sign. Okay, let's pass that. I'm in this conference. A lot of people there. I have this great worship team. Three of them are professional musicians. But they sang us into the ground. You know, singing, my husband calls them pleading, begging songs. Oh God, you know, we have gone astray, find us, heal us, deliver us. You know, I could feel it going like this. So in the end, the guy, bless his heart, you know, he sang, Jesus, don't pass us by. And I couldn't stand it anymore. I said, excuse me, he's not going to pass you by, he's in you. But the guy got mad and jumped off the platform and walked out the door. Because the guy ran after him, you know. He came back and he said, he's not going to sing for you anymore. I said, that's a relief. No, I wasn't being mean because, you know, in the afternoon he got delivered from all this religious stuff, heavy stuff. Now he has 3 CDs out. One of them's on my book table. Doing really good, because it's light. See, that heavy stuff, that's not spiritual. It's religious and soulish. Oops. Okay. Ooh, are these my glasses? Oh, I can see through them. Yeah, I can. Oh, okay. All right, no. Let's have a look quick. Quick look at, I could actually read this. This is amazing. I have a quick look at 2 Corinthians 3. So I want to briefly talk about 3 religious spirits that stop you receiving. Let's say this one more time. The realm of the spirit. Supernatural realm. The angels. Heavenly visitations. The chariots of God. All that good stuff. It's meant to be normal. 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 Part of my life. Okay, hold up your Bible. If you haven't got your Bible, put your hand on someone else's. You know, most people hold up their iPhone these days. They've got their Bible on their iPhone, haven't they? Say, devil.
Devil.
See this? Mine! Mine, mine, mine! Turn to your neighbor, say, honey.
Honey.
See this?
See
mine! Mine, mine, mine! So
there's nothing in here
that I can't have.
The Holy Spirit came
to get it out of the book and into my life. Because
I'm God's demonstration.
Yeah. See, whether you like it or not, you're God's advertisement. You're his advertisement. If you don't want to be an advertisement, don't tell anyone you're a Christian. Because as soon as you do, you immediately become an advertisement. So you know what? You better get something good. You know, because you are an advertisement, aren't you? Okay, so let's have a quick look at this, 2 Corinthians 3. I'm not going to read all the scriptures because it took too long, but you know, the story of 2 Corinthians 3, really, you know, the people, the children of Israel, they sent Moses up the mountain to meet with God, to meet with God, remember? They actually said, you go up there, God and come back and tell us what he said. That's what they said, basically. People still do that today, don't they? Do you have a word for me?
Yeah.
I say, go up the mountain for yourself. no, I've got nothing, you know, getting a word, something else. But, you know, people kind of rely on that. You know, they're always doing that all the time. Drive you nuts. Do you have a word for me? No. I felt like God told me that you had a word for me. Well, I haven't got a word for you. Then they call you, they've got on your email. Are you sure you don't have a word for me? Because I really felt God told me you had a word for me. Then you've got your phone. I can't, because I feel like you have a word for me. This last guy that did that, I said, I think God wants you to get a word for yourself. He said, that's the word, isn't it? Because he already decided he's going to get the last word before he called me. So Moses comes down with the mountain with, what did he come down with? The law, right? Came down with the law. So I have to find it in here because this is a new Bible. So when Moses came down, it says there was a veil over them. Veil over their faces because Moses was covered in the glory of the Lord. And it says even today when Moses is read, there's a veil over the heart. And then it says when a person changes and follows the Lord, that veil is taken away. So in other words, if you think before you were saved, let's bring it up to date to San Antonio, before you were saved, there was a veil over your heart. You did not understand what was happening. You might have heard bits about Jesus on a cross, but it never made sense. It didn't, you know what I mean? You heard Easter and Christmas, and it didn't really click until suddenly you met Jesus. And the veil, is what it says, is taken away. Woo! Shoo! Jesus died for me. You know, you get all excited. It says then, the next scripture is very interesting in verse 15. And then the covering's taken away from your mind, your heart. And then, you know, a person changes and follows the Lord, it's taken away, says it again. And then verse 17, the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom!
Freedom!
Come on, ladies. God, we need some shouting women in this place. God's raising up an army of wild grandmas. He is. I heard that word on the Elijah list. He is. Don't mess with the grandmas. You'll get in trouble. Not kidding. And I heard that word on Elijah's next day, next week, where I live in Macon, Georgia. There was an article in the paper. The next town to me, Warner Robins, there's a little old lady. She's in her 80s. She's got a stick and everything. And this guy, young guy broke into her house and she sent him to the hospital.
Wow.
It's a confirmation. And about that same time, I don't know if you read it on the internet, there's a little old lady outside of Walmart's, and this guy got into her car, and he said, get out, lady, because I want the car. So she locked the doors. Said, I'm not going anywhere, and neither are you. You're going to listen to me. And she preached to him for about 20 minutes. Then she opened the door and said, you can go now. Oh, I like it. Okay. So, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Freedom.
So I'll go through these really quick. Because freedom, you know, what's that? Well, that's waving flags and shouting. No, not necessarily. A lot of people do that. You know, New Agers do that too. But because the first freedom is you're free from the penalty of sin. Because Jesus died and rose again and qualified you. Is that right? 100%. So you're free from that burden, that penalty. You don't have to pay that anymore. All right? That's a big debt. The hugest debt. You're free from the power of sin. My Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because the anointing makes you God conscious anyway. See, I spent 10 years of my life trying not to fulfill the lust of the flesh in order to qualify to walk in the Spirit. But that doesn't work. You look like a dying duck in a thunderstorm. That's what they say in England. That's what they call you if you look miserable in England. So you look like a dying duck in a thunderstorm. You know, it says Cain's countenance was fallen because he offered the wrong sacrifice. The works of his hands, remember? You'd never have joy if you're trying to do it yourself. Okay, so if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the new man by faith. See, because the anointing makes you God conscious. Not, oh, here's the next one. It's where some people have a problem. The anointing sets you free from sin consciousness. Romans 8, remember? There's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But if you walk in a sin-conscious realm, I'll guarantee you one thing. You're living condemnation every day of your life. See, you can't live in a sin-conscious realm and live in the glory of God at the same time. When Jesus died and rose again, he set you free from living in a sin-conscious realm because you walk in a God-conscious realm now. You're in a different kingdom. Whoa! You're out of that religious law kingdom. You're in the kingdom of God and his dear son. You're in the kingdom of light. There's no darkness there. So you walk in the Spirit by faith. You live in a God-conscious realm. That's how you keep your joy. This is how it works, you see. The next scripture, it says, as you behold the glory of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit's job. He's the revelator, isn't he? You smell honey? You smell honey. That's the spirit of revelation. You smell honey in a minute. You put your antenna up, you smell the honey. Strong up here. That's the revelator. Holy Spirit's the revelator. He loves to reveal Jesus to you. It's his favorite thing. So you can fall in love with him. And when you fall in love, you live in that realm. See, where the Spirit is. What happens is you in love with Jesus. You just fall in love with Jesus. You get drunk in the Spirit all the time, probably. It's okay. You need to do that. Drunk people are usually nicer. And more generous, I might add. Uh-huh. Well, some of you used to be out there in the pub, you know. What happened Friday night when people got paid? I'll buy everyone a drink. Very generous. I let people get drunk, then I take an offering. No, just kidding. So, see, like when I came into that revival, it was so awesome, the glory of God. But I was still working in London. I got on the same train at the same time every morning, the same coach with my group of friends, and I had a forged season ticket. Because one of our group was very good at forgery. So we all had a forged season ticket. I had one too. I never thought anything about it. So I was walking up this platform, you know, to show my Ford season ticket to the station master. And the Holy Spirit said, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. And I said, oh! I dropped it like a hotcake. And I went up to the ticket master and said, I had a Ford season ticket for a long time. He said, get out of the way. There's a lot of people there. That's how it works, you see. you fall in love with Jesus. And he says, hey. And you don't have a big old battle because of the anointing. See, we're trying to change people. And we're trying to do something God's not doing. He's not interested in their smoking. He's more interested in their rejection. So we get some poor sinner out there. Just as you are. Without one. God loves you just like you are, brother. You know, just like you are. Just come to church so we can sort you out. But if you get entangled up with Jesus, well, it works from the inside out. That's how it should be. See, with the biggest spirit in America, I'm going to talk about it, it's the qualifying spirit. We make people qualify all the time. So let me finish this. So the anointing sets you free from sin consciousness. Do you know you're not supposed to live in that realm? You live in a God-conscious realm. You don't think till he tells you. You see, because what you see is a problem, it's probably not the problem anyway. It's not the problem. There's no good doing that. It's like a weed. You pull off a little, it's going to grow back again. You have to be spirit-led. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. He knows what he's doing. You know what? God wants his church back. Stop messing with it. Stop trying to improve it and change everybody. Jesus is not changing you. He exchanged you. Look, in the next verse it says, we are changed from glory to glory. Not from some religion in a mess to a bit of glory if you qualify. It says you start off in the glory. That's the realm we're birthed into. Change from glory into glory. Where do you want to live? I'm not going back there. I escaped. I'm an escapee from that religious stuff. Look, when we came into that revival, God washed our minds for 3 years from all that theology. We laughed for 3 years. We didn't know what was happening to us. And somebody said, I read this book about revival, and we're supposed to cry and repent. So we decided to have a meeting to cry and repent. You know, so we all sat there. Then we fell on the floor and laughed for about 3.5 hours. That was it. Because we spent our whole life repenting every day. And things we never did. Why have you... Look, I'll show you how religious we are. Have you ever been to one of those meetings where somebody decides we all have to repent? We all got to repent now. Anybody been there? I was in a meeting like that a while ago with Sid Roth. It wasn't his meeting. But there was all the... did some programs with him. There's all these big shot speakers, you know. I thought, whoa. Sid said, they want to have a prayer meeting. I thought, this is probably going to be the most awesome prayer meeting I've ever been in. I just felt quite intimidated. That's a lot for me. I don't get intimidated. But then, you know, I started this prayer meeting. This one, I'm not going to mention any names, okay? This one lady says, we have to repent from wanting to be the star. So they're all on the floor. And I'm like, I was tempted. I thought, that's not true. My whole message about is not being a star. That's my whole message. I'm not going to do that. So I got mad. I sat there like this. I knew Sid was going to leave. And sure enough, he did. But he's left me here with all these people now. And they're all wailing and crying out to God. So I said to God, you owe me a chariot ride for making me come to this prayer meeting. So he took me in a chariot to all these islands. I got a word, it was on the Elijah list, I'll kiss the islands. When I came back, I just left. See, it was a bright idea. But, you know, the religious thing will make you conform to all this stuff is not true. not too cheap, you know what I mean? But it's the good thing to do, or, you know, the Christian thing to do. I don't have time for it, you know. I don't have time for that. God didn't talk to me that way. I mean, if he wants to tell me something, he says, hey. Like, oh, okay, all right. It's over. God doesn't nag. Have you ever noticed that? He doesn't nag. He never nags you. He tells you something. You know, if you don't listen, he might have someone else tell it to you. But, you know, he just doesn't whine and nag you. Okay, so change from glory. Where did I get to? Oh, no. The Holy Anointing sets you free from sin consciousness. See, look, you'll lose your joy as soon as you become sin conscious. Because for one thing, you'll never qualify down there, will you? The anointing also sets you free from self-consciousness. Hello. You can't live in a God-conscious realm and a self-conscious realm at the same time. Because you're not free, are you? See, look, a lot of people don't do what the anointing's telling them to do because of what people think. You know, how many of you have been out there, you had a word for maybe the guy in the bank or the restaurant or whatever, and you never gave it because, you know, supposing it's not God. Or supposing it is. And what does it matter, really, what people think about you? You know that old, what's your name? That old Daniel was crucified. Well, guess what, Daniel? So was your reputation. So what does it matter, really? You know, if you have a seer anointing like me, I think it's probably people who have a seer anointing. A seer anointing is a prophetic anointing, but the Lord moves a lot in your senses. Taste, touch, feel, smell. I feel things all over me. If you have that kind of anointing, or you want me to pray for that, you better not have any, you better not care what people think about you. Because that can come, like I was with my daughter in Chattanooga, went out to a very nice French restaurant she took me to. You got in the doorway and this anointing hit me and my whole right side went numb. Something like this. She says, Mom, stand up. I said, I can't. She went in the maitre d', put us right in the corner. So I'm sitting there like this. She said, Mom, sit up. I said, I can't. She said, what is it? I said, well, I see a vision of this pastor being stoned. She said, well, pray. I said, you pray. You're the one having a problem. So she prayed. I was fine. Ate my dinner. She said, why don't we do this outside? Why do we always have to be inside? I said, I can't answer that question. I don't know that question. When I was with Sid, you know, we did all that taping. There's 12 people, all big shot people, you know, and me. And I thought, well, Sid's paying, I'll have a steak. Nice steak. Expensive. So I ordered this nice steak. It got right in front of me. I picked up the knife and fork. The anointing came on me, took me away to Florida. When I came back, everyone's eating dessert and my steak's like cardboard. I said to God, you know, before this dinner, I was for 2 hours in my hotel room by myself.
That's real.
I know. Like, how come we didn't do this then? You know, now I've got no steak. Well, I shared that a while ago at a meeting. This guy called out to me, he said, ah, but your meat is to do the will of him that sent you. I said, shut up. Nobody asked you. Who asked you? I don't know. I can't explain those things. Don't ask me. I've no idea. Okay, so the anointing sets you free from self-consciousness. Whoa. Oh, okay. Come back. I've come back. Okay. Oh, okay. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. 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 Okay. Excuse me. Says. What did it say? Oh. Says. It says. As you behold the glory of the Lord, you're changed into the same image from glory to glory. By really trying. It says you're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So your job is to fall in love with Jesus. I was I had some visitations. I believe everyone's supposed to go in chariots. That's your inheritance. I can prove it because I've had meetings with 450 people and everyone went in a chariot. So you can't say it's for them, just for them. Say, me too.
Me too.
So you have to own everything and make it yours. That's what faith is. Mine. It's mine. You've got to get hold of it. It's mine. You can't write that in your Bible. So that's interesting. I'm not going to do anything. You got to get it and declare it. Say, I prophesy all the time. Can't help it. Night and day. See, your spirit man, he lives in the spirit realm, doesn't he? That's where he lives. That's the real you, isn't it? He prophesies all the time. Has visions continually night and day. So I have so many visions. I don't know how to keep up with them all. That's the truth. That's where your spirit man lives. All you do is put your antenna up. That's all. Come on, everybody, put your antenna up. It's good for you. It's good to do childlike things. Don't ever lose that childlike ability to enjoy God. I don't care how long you've been saved or in the ministry or anything. That's just the first thing that he loves about you. It's that childlike ability to enjoy him. Don't ever lose that. Don't let any religious people take that away from you. So, I had one visitation. I was lifted up into heaven every day for 7 days. And I was lifted up into heaven another time every day for 3.5 weeks. One of those days, I was in a room. There was a beautiful young girl there. It was me, but it wasn't me. It was everybody. There were three angels there. Jesus walked into the room, and the angels began to sing to her. Isn't he beautiful, beautiful, isn't he? So she looked. He was so awesome, so amazing. She's, you know, so she began to sing. Isn't he beautiful? Beautiful, isn't he? And he walked right over to her and he said, yes, you are beautiful, beautiful, yes, you are. And he was so in love with her. He thought she's the best thing since sliced cheese. He thought she was so awesome. He was totally in love with her. He's amazed. See, look. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the church, that's you guys, is actually greater than all of creation. Because creation was created, but you're born of his same divine nature. He's in you by spirit. That's greater than creation. You have power to create, actually. Did you know that? Your words have power to create. So I can tell some of you have been taught some right things. You have power to create because the creator's in you. When you speak, you do create. Actually, when you speak, you're creating a pathway that you are going to walk in. So you create in a pathway. You're going to walk in it. Be careful. I used to go to New England all the time. I'd go there and I'd say, whenever I get up here, I get a cold. Well, guess what? There's a little devil waiting for me off the plane. Waiting for me to say, when I come up here, I'll get a cold. He said, here you go. Hey, thank you. To somebody, you know, sometimes you say things you don't realize. That's when you need a good friend. Okay, so where did I get to? I haven't got to the three religious spirits yet. But you understand, look, you're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, because you know what? I was in heaven every day. She just was so in love with him. She just hung around Jesus. Say snuggle, don't struggle. Write it down in the fridge. Nestle, don't wrestle. She just hung around, you know. Where he went, she went. What he did, she did. What he said, she said. And guess what happened? All his attributes fell on her. And she became just like him. She wasn't beating herself up and working at it and, you know, getting under all this stuff. She just loved Jesus. And he loved her. It was awesome. It's so foreign from the religious spirit. It's so opposite to the religious spirit, because the religious spirit will always, always, always try and make you do something that only God can do. It will make you work at it. But there's nothing to work at. It's yielding, not trying. God doesn't want you to work for him. Thanks all the same. Stop. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
I quit.
I'm not working for you anymore.
See, honestly, he doesn't want you to work for him. Just get in the way. He doesn't want you out there. You know, I was in this church. This lady said, she said, in my church, we're toiling. I said, what? She said, we're toiling. I thought that old song, you know, we're toiling. I said, it sounds painful. She said, it is really. She said, it's depressing. She said, in fact, it's very boring. I said, yeah, it would be. I said, well, you're boring. I said, well, you're sitting there with the board. You're part of it. She said, oh, yeah. She said, what should I do? I said, I don't know. Do something. Prophesy. She said, oh, they won't like it. So it won't be boring. And I saw this lady a few months later at another meeting. She was all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. She said, I did what you said, Kathy. So the next Sunday, when the choir finished, and the pastor was walking up the steps, I stood up and prophesied. She said, and these deacons came and escorted me out. She said, the pastor called me back and said, oh, you weren't thinking of coming back, were you? She said, no, and I wasn't really. He said, okay. I said, but that's the most exciting thing that ever happened in that place. They called each other all week about that. What are you? It probably was 2 weeks worth. And she should go back and do it again. Creep in the back and do it again, because then they have a 6 months worth. Excitement. True. Okay. So, change from glory into glory. As you behold the glory of the Lord, you're changed into the same image. Now, have you got it yet that you're qualified? Say, I'm so qualified. Look, you can't get unqualified. Look, follow this for a minute. How can you unqualify from something you never qualified for in the first place? Only Christians can do that. Only Christians can have that thought pattern. It's true. Say, I can't unqualify from something I never qualified for. You see, the trouble is, as soon as somebody slips up or they have a bad day, they immediately feel unqualified. And if God calls you and says, you know, you had a bad night and you got a headache and somebody said something negative or something and you get up and, you know, like this. You look in the mirror because you've got a scripture, I can do all things through Christ. Right. And this face looks at you and says, you've got to be kidding. And God says, to you, I want you to call Sister Susie and pray for her. And you say, oh, I need prayer myself. But nothing changed, did it? What changed? Nothing changed. You can still move out in faith, can't you? Does it have anything to do with you? How about have you ever got to church, like you had a bad night too? You didn't want to come to church anyway. You wanted to watch the game, so you want to get up. but it's your turn to hand out the thing, so you've got to go. And you're like growling on the way. But you get there, someone in the doorway. How are you doing, sis? Praise God. Hallelujah. And you get in there, and you still feel a bit like a dog. And suddenly God uses you, and you're shocked. But he didn't use you because you qualified. He used you because he loves you and you're his kid. Or you get to the Wednesday night prayer meeting and you're all prayed up, ready to go. And the anointing comes on everyone except you. You're just sitting there. You say, what did I do? We didn't do anything. But God doesn't usually have to use you all the time. Sometimes he wants to use someone else. Sometimes he wants to use himself. Ever thought about that? So, the biggest religious spirit in America is that qualifying spirit, because it's implied all over the place. It's really cold back here. Can we make it a bit warmer? Is that possible? Or is it going to be one of those hot or cold situations? A lot of churches, you know, it's either hot or cold. Well, at least it's scriptural. You say, can you turn the air up and it's boiling hot, you know? And you say, can you turn it the heat down? It's like. So I'm so qualified. That's the biggest religious spirit in America. You see, it's very subtle. Because it's not something that's taught, but it manifests like a feeling. Because as soon as you do something, you see, it kicks in. And you feel not qualified. Somebody says, let's go in chariots right now. Oh. You have to get rid of that totally out of your thinking. I hate to tell you, but it's all around you. In church. It is. Sorry. It is. It's so part of our Christian stuff. But God's massively delivering people from that, because if you feel you have to qualify in any way, you'll never receive all of your inheritance, will you? The devil counts on that. Because if you don't receive because you don't feel, you know what I mean? Well, that, you know, the chariots and the angels, that's for him and her, because they're those kind of spirit people. They're saying, me too. It's me too. You have to be bold. The devil doesn't want you to say me too. Can I get another cup of tea? Thanks, brother. Strong up here. There's waves up here. There's angels up here. I have one angel that pushes me around if it gets religious. I'm trying to. Okay, let's not go there. Where'd I get to? Oh, so. That's the biggest religious bit. You totally have to get rid of that. See, now listen. I have a CD. It's called Getting Free, Living in the Supernatural. And it talks about the three main religious spirits. The trouble is, they only sent me like six. Don't ask me that. But why? But I tell you what. If you go to my website, some of you are a little bit computer savvy. It's not a big deal. You can go to my website. And you can download that CD. Just download it. Go to eCDs. All my CDs are eCDs and eBooks. Every book, every CD is eBook and eCD. Or your Kindle. You do that? Because I want you, this is the most important CD that I have. And it's the one I tell people, listen to it 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, whatever it takes to replace that, to get that out of your head. Because if you don't totally get out of your head, someone will pull you back into it. And you won't even realize. See, somebody has to. You know why I don't do a lot of big conferences with a lot of people now? It's because I discovered this. I'd spend a whole day telling people they're qualified, everything. New covenant. Somebody would get up and say one thing. They put everybody back there in the old covenant. I might as well have not said anything because they just lost the whole thing. Because they hadn't got it enough to make that connection with that's what that statement was doing, was putting them back there. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you ever sat in a church that had a strong Calvinism, you need deliverance. Sorry. You do. One of the biggest religious spirits I got delivered from was Calvinism. It was huge. Because it's an evil devil. That's what it is. Because it twists the nature of God. In the eyes of the people, he's a good God. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God. He's not a yes and no God. Even Paul said, I didn't come to you with a yes and no gospel. I came to you with a gospel that said yes and amen to the glory of God. You see, I was brought up under, God wants to fill you with the Spirit and you should ask him, but he might and he might not because he's sovereign. That's Calvinism. God, you know, you should pray for healing. He might heal you, but he might not because he's sovereign. That's Calvinism. It's evil. It is. I don't know why the church worshipped some of these people. They were awful. Calvin had 57 people tortured and murdered because they didn't agree with his theology. Hello? I prayed for whole churches for a spirit of murder that were in strong Calvinism. That comes down. You don't agree with me. I mean, that, I know that's an extreme, but that's where it got to. 37 women burned too, because he thought they could be witches. The intercessors. Oh, sorry to disillusion you, but you know, wake up, hello. Well, you know, the times pass where you just, I can't do that thing where just, you know, Kathy, just don't offend anybody. I can't do that. You know, that's not what I'm about. I'm not mean, but, you know, I haven't got time to be religious. I haven't got time to mess around. I've got too much to do. Say, so have I. Okay, second religious spirit. You got this one, though. You got that qualifying one. Never let anybody pull you, never let any church or anything pull you into that. It's a lie. Look. If it was anything to do with you, Jesus wouldn't have crucified the old man. He would have given you a list. Here's your list, you work on this. Here's your list, you work on that. Here's your list, you work on these things. The old man is not improvable. It's not brush-upable. It's not changeable in any way. So he crucified it. Hello? He crucified it. Because that's the only thing you can do. Say, thank God. Your salvation is his business. He, is going to present you faultless. But the presence of his glory with exceeded joy. He is. Not your pastor, sorry. Not your husband, even. Not your prayer partner or your mom, sorry. He is. He's going to get all the glory because he did all the work. See, you're his trophy. He's going to say, look, Dad, what I got. And he's going to get all the glory. You know why? Because he did all the work. If you do some of the work, you're entitled to some of the glory. But you're not getting any. I mean, we have, but it's his. But he gives his glory to the church, you know. The anointing, the glory will fall on you if you keep in humility. You know what humility is? Humility isn't walking around saying I'm a worm. I did that for 10 years. We even sang a song. We sang this song. Worms, 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 approaching the throne of grace. Yeah, we did. We thought that was very spiritual, very humble. Thank God I can't remember the rest of it. But we did. We look like it too. Because if you smiled, they thought you did something wrong. I remember there was a man that used to come Sunday nights to our church. He was a Pentecostal. That made him... You know. So he used to sit in the balcony. I used to think, he's going to leap off the balcony one of these Sundays. Because he'd be smiling. And we'd think... that man's like a lunatic or something. He's not in his right mind anyway. Because he's smiling all the time. In church. Scary. It was very scary. I got delivered from 8 religious spirits in one day. Yes. They're like a little chain gang. I could name them all afterwards if you like. Okay. Oh, where do we get to? Okay. Second biggest religious spirit in America. You know, like I say this, because I've been here 35 years. I'm almost American. I'm more American than some other people that I know in high places. Okay. Second biggest religious spirit is what I call a spirit of false responsibility. It's very heavy. Very subtle. Because it's on almost everyone. Because it's a Christian spirit. You know what I mean? I'll tell you how it works. Most of us in church places have been taught to minister to need. Is that right? We've been taught to minister to need, generally speaking. But you know, Jesus never ministered to need. Jesus never ministered to need. Hello? Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah. He never ministered to need. He ministered to the Father. Actually, Jesus only ever did three things. He did what the Father told him to do. He went where the Father told him to go. And he said what the Father told him to say. That's all he ever did. That's all he ever did. As a byproduct, many needs were met. But he didn't run around trying to meet needs. Do you remember when they came and told Jesus, Lazarus is dying? Remember that? That's pretty drastic, isn't it? I mean, you know, they didn't say Lazarus has got a headache or he's got the flu. So he's dying. That's pretty. You see, well, you or I, because the way we've been raised, we'd done something to try and meet the need. Is that right? But Jesus never did anything for 2 days, you remember? The disciples must have been saying, I thought you're supposed to be a friend. Why don't you do, you know, why don't you do something? Anybody ever said that to you? But you see, he never did anything, did he, for 2 days. He didn't do anything till the Father told him to do it. And when he went, in 2 days when he went there, there was a little group of people, remember? Waiting to have a discussion. Remember that? They said, can you remember what they said? If you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. And my brother wouldn't have died. But Jesus didn't go to have a discussion with them. They just got in the way. Remember? He had to go past them and he went to where he was intending to go, which was to the tomb. And he said, Lazarus! Well, I don't think he said Lazarus. He probably shouted a bit. This lady said to me one time, I don't believe Jesus ever raised his voice. And I saw